Major funding for Only a Game comes from Oliver Wyman, an international strategy consulting firm. With 3,000 professionals worldwide, Oliver Wyman serves global 1,000 companies. OliverWyman.com.
This is Only a Game. I'm Bill Littlefield. The days of baseball's regular season are dwindling down to a precious few. Last night, the Padres beat the Giants 6-4 to keep San Diego's hopes for a division title alive. They trailed San Francisco by 2 games with 2 to play. In other National League action, the Braves fell to the Phillies. They now have a 1-game lead in the wild card race over the Padres. In the American League, Tampa Bay fell half a game behind the Yankees in the East by losing to the Royals, while New York was rained out. The Yankees are scheduled to play 2 against the Red Sox in Boston today and tonight. The 2010 Ryder Cup is underway at Celtic Manor Resort in Newport, Wales. Golf's biannual tournament pitting teams from the U.S. and Europe against one another began yesterday morning, then stopped because of torrential rains, then started again in the afternoon. Play was stopped again because of darkness, and they finally completed the first round of 4 balls this morning. The USA leads Europe 2.5 to 1.5. Sports Illustrated senior writer Alan Shipnuck is in Wales covering the Ryder Cup, and he joins me now. Alan, welcome back to Only a Game.
Thanks for having me.
For those who don't follow the sport of golf closely, give us a quick overview of the 3 formats played in the Ryder Cup.
The first day featured only the 4 balls. That's where there's two-man teams. Each guy plays his own ball, and whichever score from his team carries the hole. The alternate shot, or as they're called, foursomes over here, there's only 1 ball in play for each team, and as you can imagine, they alternate shots. And then for the final round, hopefully Sunday, possibly Monday, there'll be 12 singles matches, man against man, very simple. But I think it's going to come down to the singles, and it could come down to the last few matches. The teams look very evenly matched so far.
The 2010 course at Celtic Manor, designed just for the Ryder Cup, was drenched in Friday's downpours. Even when play resumed, the grounds crew still was out there with squeegees on the greens before these guys could putt. How much did the weather affect the quality of play?
Well, tremendously, especially during the early going before they stopped it for 7 hours. The air was so thick and wet with the rain falling that the players were saying they were losing, 20% on their yardages. The rough was saturated and virtually unplayable. So it's a shame because it's almost predictable. You come to Wales in October, it's going to rain. And they built this course basically in a floodplain at the bottom of a valley. I mean, it's a bog out there. What do they expect?
Sounds a little bit like the baseball equivalent would be building Candlestick Park in San Francisco.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, these are outdoor sports. Go where the sunshine is.
The U.S. team thought that they were prepared for the wet weather of Wales, but I guess their Ryder Cup rain gear was more water-absorbent than water-repellent, as it turned out.
Oh, yeah, that was such a delicious story. Lisa Pavin, the so-called captainess, the wife of U.S. Ryder Cup captain Corey Pavin, has made a big deal of the team uniforms, and she's tried to make them very fashion-forward. She had unlimited budget and seemed to exhaust it. They have every permutation of periwinkle cardigan and pinstripe pants you can imagine, but the most single most important thing you could have is rain gear that works. And within half an hour of play starting, the players were drenched and complaining about it. And someone took their corporate card, went into the merchandise pavilion, and had to pay retail for all the overpriced logoed apparel that the fans are snapping up. And they bought a bunch of rain gear right off the rack. And I can assure you that it brightened up the rain delay for all the press here.
Golf trash talk is usually pretty tame by sports standards. However, European team member Rory McIlroy recently said that with Tiger Woods not playing at his best, he would love to face Woods in the Ryder Cup. When asked about that, Woods said, "Yeah, me too." Does this kind of thing have any impact once play begins?
Well, it will on young Rory if he does happen to get Tiger in singles, because he gets his butt kicked. I mean, the last thing you want to do is give Tiger extra motivation. But to answer your question, the Ryder Cup is not normal golf. It's very heated. It's very passionate. It's very emotional, jingoistic. Guys do things that they normally wouldn't this week. They just get swept up in the fever of it all. There's always some bruised feelings at the end of the Ryder Cup week.
The rain canceled the first day's afternoon foursomes. What's the plan for making up the golf that didn't get played yesterday?
it's complicated, but basically they're adding extra matches to the different sessions to try and speed things up. The doomsday scenario, you know, the nuclear option is that if this thing is not done Monday at 6:43, which is the sundown here locally, then the Ryder Cup is over. Any matches that haven't been completed are declared a have, no matter what, and they'll add up the points and declare a winner. And whichever team loses is going to be really bitter because they will not have had a full chance.
The U.S. won the 2008 Ryder Cup, but the Europeans have won five of the last seven tournaments. Who do you like this time around?
Well, I've been picking the U.S. for a month, mostly to be a contrarian because everyone was picking Europe. But because of the quirks, the qualifying system, the Europeans had to leave off two of their best players in Paul Casey and Justin Rose. And their best player, Lee Westwood, got hurt and wasn't able to play for 6 weeks leading up to it. And don't forget, the U.S. has four of the top five players in the world rankings: Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Jim Furyk, Steve Stricker. I mean, they can carry the team if they're playing their best. So I think it's going to be close, but I still like the U.S. to do it.
Alan Shipnuck is a senior writer for Sports Illustrated, and he co-authored Swinging from My Heels with Christina Kim. Alan, thank you very much for speaking with me.
My pleasure. Thank you.